My name is Ken Starks and I am the executive director of ReGlue. We accept broken or decommissioned computers, refurbish them, then place them in the homes of financially disadvantaged kids in Central Texas. I am compelled to explain to why I am coming before you and speaking with a synthetic voice. I was diagnosed with stage 4 throat cancer in February of 2012. We thought we had it beat, but recent scan showed that the area was indicating precancerous cell growth activity. I made the decision to have my larynx removed and be done with the worry. I am now considered cured. Whatever it takes, man. Here I am. I want to thank everyone who made me feel so welcomed here in Cambridge. I was going to say that being here leaves me speechless, but you would have seen that coming all the way from Fenway Park.
Strike 3! You're out!
The bad news is that there are several other jokes to come, and all of them are just as bad or worse than that one. The good news is that wrapped around those bad jokes is information that you might find important. You folks don't have any idea of just how much impact you have in the world. In the next 20 minutes or so, I'm going to show you some of that impact. Today, ReGlue is made up of 7 directors and a pool of over 100 volunteers. I chose to accept the position as the executive director, who in turn serves at the pleasure of the board. In that I am the founder of the organization, having me serve in that capacity ensures no one person can unfairly sway the organization into directions we were never meant to go. So what is our direction? It is simplified by one simple statement, and everything we do is anchored upon that statement. A child's exposure to technology should never be predicated on the ability to afford it. I can stand outside my house and turn 360 degrees. There are dozens of kids that need our help in every direction. When we first started doing what we do, we relied upon school teachers to find us qualified candidates for our service. In fact, that's how we first began helping kids in Austin and surrounding communities. When the back wall of my garage was completely covered with computers, my wife mentioned that I might want to do something with those computers. That is, unless I wanted to move out here and sleep with them. If I had known then what I know now, I would have taken a better look at that second option. I asked my daughter what her homeroom teacher's name was, and I set up a meeting with her. You know, we live in strange times and we need to take precautions today that 20 years ago, we'd never even consider. Here I was, standing before a school teacher, asking her to give me the names and contact numbers of kids in her classroom that could use our help. Yeah, like she was going to hand me her list of kids. So we worked out a method where a teacher would meet me at the dollar store parking lot, and we would transfer computers from the back of my car to the back of hers. The whole time, I had the theme song of Cops playing in my head, like we were doing this major crime syndicate drug deal. Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do when day come for you? Oh, don't look so surprised. I can still get my boogie on. Now I do it on the download. Are you feeding me, dog? Sup? I can stand up here and tell you, well, I can stand up here and let my voice thingy tell you all about the cool stuff we do. Since 2005, we've had our share of shining moments, but a couple of them I want to mention specifically. Joe Petrono is a hard-working guy. For most of his marriage, Joe has worked 2 jobs in order for his wife to stay home and take care of the kids. In 2010, Eloisa Petrono called us and asked what was involved in getting her kids a computer. This was one of Joe's rare days off. 10 a.m. that Saturday morning found me at the door of Joe and Eloisa Petrono, working 2 jobs that can be hard to do. Eloisa set herself busy fixing coffee, while Joe and I made small talk for a few minutes. After the coffee arrived, and all 3 of us were settled, I let these folks know how I felt. The oldest boy, Armando, was only 6 years old, and I explained that we rarely found that a computer for any child 8 years older and under wasn't going to do a lot of good. That's what the research we based our program on anyway. Joe looked over at his wife and then she reached under a magazine on the table and handed Joe a piece of paper that had been under that magazine. It was indeed impressive. The Patrono's oldest son Armando had been accepted into a school for gifted children. Seems that little Mundo was grasping algebraic theory at the age of 6. My jaw gets slack, and I get all slobbery if you even pretend you are going to present me with an algebraic equation. Postulates and theorems, yeah right. When I looked up from the acceptance notice I looked back up to Joe, and he inched closer, as in speaking with a hushed voice. What he said still pierces me today. Please, Joe asked, I don't want my boy to grow up stupid like me. Well, I can't speak to how stupid Joe was, I ended up giving him the computer. Reglue doesn't have many mandates for ourselves so we take seriously the ones we do. Once a Reglue kid, always a Reglue kid. For most of our Reglue kids, we contact them every 3 years or so and see how their computer is holding up. In the Patrono's case, we received notice that this number was no longer his service. That happens a lot. Fact is, I believe we calculated that as many as 64% of our Reglue kids no longer resided at the place where we installed their computer. It happens, and we move on. So I was pleasantly surprised when the voice on the other end of the incoming phone call was Eloisa Patrono. She is a delightful woman. She mentioned that her computer was getting a bit slow, and how much it would cost to replace it. See, we never charge for a Reglue kid computer refresh. Once a Reglue kid, always a Reglue kid. I got her address and we agreed on a time to come visit. Arriving promptly, I was amazed at how much the kids had aged. I mean, it had been 4 years after all. But the kids' growth wasn't what surprised me, it was how much the Linux computer had not. It was still running the Linux Mint 9 long-term support edition. Aside from having enough dust in it to choke a mule, it was working as well as it did the day we left it. All the updates had went well, and aside from the god-awful 21-inch CTR monitor it came with, it was pretty sharp. And as a fast aside, we no longer accept CRT monitors. Our insurance company makes that a stipulation for our coverage, but getting down to the main motivation of not accepting CRTs, I'm never again going to carry one of those 63 pounds. Three flights of apartment stairs. I'm just saying, it ain't happening. So Joe and I went out to my Explorer with Mundo skipping along behind us. Joe told me that he had gotten a new job, and he was making way more money with this one job than he had made at both of his old ones. I opened the back hatch and we picked out the computer and components we needed for the installation. Joe was obviously pleased with the 24-inch Asus monitor that was being installed. He held out his fist for a bump, and I obliged him. He was like a kid on Christmas Day. Eloisa had already taken the old machine, speakers, keyboard, and mouse outside the door. She had cleaned the desk and shelf area, and she was a bit embarrassed about all the dust and dust bunnies that had accumulated. So the magic moment came for us to start the computer, and I motioned Mundo to sit in the computer chair and to turn the machine on. The sounds of surprise and pleasure were priceless. I helped Mundo begin to get around in the KDE environment, but he brushed me off as if I was an annoyance. Well, in his eyes, I was. It only took a few minutes before he found all the old applications that had been on his old machine. TuxMath, World of Goo, Compress, it was obvious he was happy. Eloisa helped me carry the old stuff out to my truck, and when finished she held her hand up in the universal sign for wait a minute. She returned to the driveway and handed me a Tupperware sandwich holder and told me to just keep the holder. Joe came out and we said our goodbyes, and I left. Midway through the 45-mile trip back home, I remembered the sandwich from Eloisa. I put it on my lap and opened the Tupperware only to find two pieces of bread. I laid the sandwich on the passenger seat, but when I came to the next stoplight, I picked up the Tupperware holder and took the top piece of bread off. Oh, it was a sandwich all right. Between the two pieces of bread were three carefully folded $100 bills. I smiled to myself and put my truck in gear to get through the light. People can be amazing sometimes, and you never know where your next donation will come from. and that leads into a subject where one question comes up frequently. How are we funded, and do you own the building from which you work? What's the monthly number on your operating costs? So how are we funded? The short answer is by any means short of a felony. No, actually we have an annual fundraiser, and the majority of our funding comes from the free open source and New Linux communities traditionally. Organizations like ours qualified for a number of grants, and they operated for years on those grants. In today's nonprofit world, those kind of grants are almost impossible to come by. The foundations and executors of estates won't give money to be spent at the organization's discretion. People giving the money want their grant funds spent on stuff the organization might need. Stuff like computers, furniture, vehicles, so my question is often to them, what good is a vehicle going to do us when we don't have the money to put fuel into it? The answer to that question, even if it is ever answered, is a shrug. We have annual fundraisers via Indiegogo in the autumn, but we are considering using a monthly model for fundraising. The majority of the money we spend is on computer parts. What we are looking at now is if there is a point of diminished return in refurbishing 8-year-old computers. While we do have most of the parts to repair these machines, obtaining the RAM for them is a different thing. The DDR2 RAM that powered this computer is long out of production, and it gets a high price. A recent RAM upgrade cost us $48 for 40 gigs of RAM. You can thank your deity of choice for Amazon Prime. There was no shipping charge. A short search for that same model of computer with similar hardware averaged out at around $110. Really? Half the cost of the machine is RAM? And so it goes at reglue. If you have old DDR2 RAM and 2 gig sticks, we will gladly take it off your hands. Oh, and why 2 gig sticks? Because Dell decided that most of their consumer desktop models only needed 2 gigs of RAM, so they only provided 2 RAM slots for the RAM. Don't get me started on their power bricks for laptops. The building we work from belongs to the city of Taylor, Texas. We were pretty much a gypsy clan. We worked out of anyone's garage or storage facility that we could find. Skip Ginter, who was our acquisitions director at the time, was able to negotiate a deal with the city. We will ensure every financially disadvantaged kid in the city gets a computer. If they ask for it, you let us use that old World War II army barracks that you plan to demolish. It was a done deal. The city still owns the building, but we use it free of charge. They pay for all utilities and water. They just put a new central heating system into it, and they even mow our lawn. I don't do a lot of betting, but if I were pushed to the wall to make that bet, I would bet we got the better end of the deal. So I took the scenic route around the subject to answer a simple question, and I didn't bother to answer even with all that rhetoric. $1,180. That's what it costs reglue to do everything asked of us in a month's time. $1,180, and no, it was not my intent to take a running dive, to wrap my arms around your leg in a death grip as you dragged me down the hallway as I begged for money. We are actually doing okay for the time being, not yet anyway, so there's that. The question does come up though, and more often than I would have expected. How much does the position of executive director for Reglue pay? Nothing. Zero. Nada. Nothing. Our annual donations would not support a salary position, and to that point, I am retired. And I live on retirement income. I won't buy the Taj Mahal on my pay, but I won't starve to death on the streets either. All of our directors are in a non-paid position as well. We decided early on that the funds that come into Reglue should stay in running Reglue. Now, get me a $250,000 grant hitting the bank account, and I'll reverse that statement so fast that I'd get skid marks on my tonsils. Well, you get the idea. Any donation that comes into Reglue goes to operate the organization and pay for the stuff we need to do what we say we are doing. Truth be known, I hate fundraising. And even talking about fundraising, so let's talk about something else. In 2008, I got a call from a buddy of mine that I used to drive truck with. George had been laid off for over a year, and with a young man getting ready to enter college, he wanted to know if we could get him set up with a laptop before he darted off to school. Well, of course we could, and of course we did. And that brings us to a brother and sister, who were preparing for college themselves. Rosa worked two jobs herself, as a divorced mother of two. Brandy was getting ready to enter college the coming school year at Baylor University, and her brother Richard was going to be graduating halfway through his senior year at high school. For the rest of the year he would work enough to be able to put some money back for college. My truck driving buddy George was the one that referred us to these folks. They lived right across the street. These are honor roll students, both of them, and we fixed them both up with fairly new Acer TravelMate laptops. This hasn't come up yet, but it's fixin' to come up now. First, note the date on the slide if you can. It's at the bottom in yellow. Can you see the year we gave these kids their laptops? That's right, 2008. And every computer we place with a school kid comes loaded with the most current new/Linux operating system, and it is custom tweaked to meet their scholastic needs. Okay, so this is where most people would roll up their sleeves and raise their dukes as they prepare to battle over just how much Linux works or Linux sucks. Let me spare you the bloodshed and drama. Linux has worked for our ReGlue kids since 2005. And yeah, there have been some stumbles and problems, but when all the smoke clears, their Linux computers get them all the way through college. Just showing these kids how to save their documents in LibreOffice in doc or docx format stops many problems on the spot. Now who really panics over Linux on their computer? Adults. It's adults that freak out over Linux on their computer. Especially if it's alive in boyfriend, who stays home all day while mom works. He watches his soaps and plays World of Warcraft all day. But holy cow, let Bubba turn on the new computer and see what is there, he throws a sissy fit. It's not even an hour that passes by that Bubba calls his stay-at-home buddy down the street and asks him to come over with his cracked copy of Windows 7. Oh, he's happy. But where is little Sue's educational games and applications? Where are her bookmarks and other things she needs? They were blown away by the king of WoW. Up until 2009, we would come back out and redo the Linux OS and firmly tell mom that if this happens again, they were on their own. Nowadays, they sign a release form before we leave, explaining that if Windows is installed on the computer, then they now have a computer with Windows on it. Have a nice day. Click. At this point, I am glad that I am delivering this message synthetically. I have a hard time in keeping from getting choked up here. Mandy is now in the second year of her graduate studies in biomedical engineering at Johns Hopkins. Mandy grew up without a father or male influence in the home. Her uncle Art was the closest thing to a dad that she had ever known. Rosa's sister and uncle Art visit often, but as Mandy grew, Art realized how important his role was in helping guide Mandy into the good things in life. In 2004, her uncle Art volunteered and joined the United States Army, where he earned a commissioned officer's rank. In 2005, Lieutenant Arthur Maldonado, with the 2nd of the 75th Ranger Battalion, returned home and began fitting and rehabilitation for his prosthetic arm. Mandy visited him twice while he was at Walter Reed Hospital in Washington, and as often as she could while he was being treated for burns at Brooke Army Medical Center in San Antonio. She was appalled by the condition of the hospital in our nation's capital, and the old and outdated technology that was being presented to these heroes coming back home with less body mass with which they had departed. Mandy sat on the edge of her uncle's bed as he attempted to use his new prosthetic to eat. It was at that moment when Mandy was helping feed her uncle that she made him a promise and swore on her mother's heart. Amanda Maldonado would gain the education needed to design and provide her uncle with the right arm that he deserved for his service. Today Mandy is interning with the U.S. Army Mobility Research and Development Center to indeed help design her uncle's prosthetic right arm. He will begin fitting sessions this coming fall, so, amazing young people rising to become the heart and drive of their generation. This generation will do more to advance human technology than the past three generations combined. These are the people that will find a cure for diabetes. It's these kids that will live to set the first human footprint on Mars. They will eradicate HIV and AIDS, and they will take the mapping of human DNA to places where we've never even thought possible. Now if only they can just fix Real Player so it doesn't suck, but for all the brilliant things these kids will accomplish, it will be much earlier generations who set their paths. It will be the spirit and fearlessness of Richard Stallman, who placed a firm, but guiding hand upon their collective shoulder and showed them the door to their future. It will be the souls of Alan Turing, Dennis Ritchie, and Linus Torvalds, whose words and works will be the foundation by which these kids will shape the things to come. But many, many times more so, it will be the Deanne Littles and Charlie Kravets of the world that do the hard work to strengthen that foundation. It's people like Larry Caffiero and Randy Noseworthy who find a way to pitch in on a project and find a way to help instead of shrugging it off. It's the people who take the time to do the simplest things, like file and follow up on a bug report. It's the people that follow behind wannabe coders, like Ken Starks, and fix his infuriating habit of forgetting double quotes. Here is where I struggled with picking and choosing more names to give as examples, where all I really need to do is look now right in front of me. It is the people who take forward the concept of free open source software and demand its rightful place. It's people like you who call the corporates onto the carpet for violating the real and only software licensing that makes sense in today's world. It's those that insist on transparency in the code they write. In short, it's you. I fully acknowledge at this time, and on today's date, that I am indeed standing in the hall of greatness. As I look out among you, I realize that credit for doing good things is fine and should be acknowledged. But again, many times more so, it's those who build the future of free open source software on a granite foundation. And that is where your work will remain for centuries to come. Now, let me bring this full circle, so it all makes sense. Without the ability to extend your work into the homes and halls of education and hope, there would be no reglue. Just over 1,700 kids all over Texas owe their exposure to technology to you. A child's exposure to technology should never be predicated on the ability to afford it. You and you alone, everyone in this room brings that statement both to bear and to the light of truth. And by doing so, you make this world a better place.